think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israel's military says it's cut off Gaza City and separated Hamas strongholds in the north and south. The fighting is now house-to-house and close-quarter combat. The IDF also uncovered evidence of Hamas hiding rocket launchers inside a mosque and even this boys' club. An IDF officer showed the pictures on the wall, while at the end of the room are rocket launchers aimed at the Israeli city of Ashkelon and other cities to the north. Israel has long charged Hamas with using hospitals, schools, and mosques as cover for its military operations and says it constitutes a pattern of war crimes.
It is a pattern of war crimes to hide military munitions and rocket launchers, things of that nature, inside a civilian population. Because if you come to a point of war, you know those are going to be taken out by the enemy. But Hamas' idea is we hide them inside the Palestinians. They won't dare come and attack and kill innocent people. Or the plus is, if they do, we've got bloody footage to show the world how absolutely appalling Israel is. They call for peace. I'll remind you again, there was peace prior to October 7th. It's an uneasy peace, but there was no fighting like we're seeing now. And then on October 7, when Hamas terrorists, not soldiers, terrorists, invaded Israel and started slaughtering innocent civilians, including women and children, and then retreated back to their shelters and their tunnels in Gaza, what did they expect Israel to do? Just, that was bad. We'll try to make sure it doesn't happen again. No, they're going to go and get revenge, retaliation, and exterminate the terrorists. These terrorists, we have people across this nation right now shouting out on behalf of the PLO. What they're really supposedly arguing is that Palestinians have a right to have a place there too. Israel gave them the Gaza Strip 20 plus years ago, gave the Gaza Strip to the PLO, pulled Israeli settlers out of the region. So it all became controlled by Palestinians. Only they didn't have much control. Al-Fatah, another terrorist group, had it. And then Hamas got into an election and won control. And no one's had control other than Hamas for the last almost 20 years. And Hamas is not going to hold a new election. And if they do, who dare vote against them? And you've got the West Bank that's on the west side of the Jordan River. That's why it's called the West Bank. That is fully PLO. On both sides of Israel, West Bank to the north, and then along the Mediterranean Sea for about 25-plus miles, the Gaza Strip. Been an uneasy truce, been troubles, problems, issues, back and forth, but nothing like we're having now, and the reason we're having it now is because Hamas decided it would carry out this kind of fight. And you just heard from the IDF and the reporter on that story about all the hidden rockets and materials are finding inside a school. And they found similar under hospitals and in mosque and under mosque. Supposedly sacred points that would not be attacked by the enemy. But in a war, when you know the enemy is hiding, that's where you're going to go for them. They're using their own people, their own people. How many of the streets in the demonstration this last weekend understand that Palestinians are dying because Hamas is holding them hostage as well as the ones they took from Israel? They will not let them leave and go to safety. They want them there to protect them as a shield from Israeli attacks. There are reports that 400 Americans have been released through the Rafah gate, but they were not apparently being held by Hamas, were not taken at that time. They were just already in Gaza. I don't know why they would ever choose to go to Gaza. And then there are also reports that something like 5,000 total have been able to leave through the southern gate. All the fighting is around Gaza City and that part. They made it very clear that's where Israel is going to attack. But, of course, that also gave the opportunity for Hamas to hide among the civilians, even use ambulances as cover to get from one location to another and move their munitions and weapons to the southern part. I'll repeat again. If Israel had wanted to destroy Gaza entirely, they could have done it within 2 days. They're not trying to kill civilians. They are trying to kill Hamas entirely. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, November 7, 2023. You're listening to the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're on the air Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when on the air, video of the show is streaming at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble, and numerous other platforms. But if it has Larry Connors USA on it, you're with us. And if by chance you miss anything, you can always go and pull up the podcast and our video or audio podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. So the IDF, according to that report, was saying we're finding a lot of hidden rockets. Well, the battle to take over Gaza City has been underway for several hours, and they're closing and encircling and tightening it. And here's the IDF spokesman, Peter Lerner.
We are conducting combat, which is door-to-door, compound-to-compound, because they've built up, effectively, Hamas has built up extensive capabilities within the civilian arena, building, taking advantage of civilian buildings, of community centers, of mosques, of hospitals. And we are fighting them, seeking them out. And I'd say in almost all of the exchanges, we are killing the enemy.
We are killing the enemy, which is the mission. Unfortunately, they're also killing civilians. But that's not the intent. And if Hamas did not want that to happen, they would let the civilians go. They will not let them flee to the south if they can stop them. Reports of them even shooting civilians in the back. Hamas shooting civilians in the back. Men, women, and children as they try to leave. So no one wants to try to escape to the south where it might be safer, where there is no bombing as we've seen in the north. And Hamas had made it very clear. We built the tunnel system that we have all under Gaza for us, not for Palestinian civilians. So they're not really sheltering any of them there. They're letting them take their chances above ground, hoping and knowing that many more civilians will be killed. 10,000 at last report. That's a staggering number. 10,000. Imagine going to a football stadium or a baseball stadium. Let's say it holds 50,000. You're talking about one-fifth of the audience you see wiped out. Men, women, children. Netanyahu speaking very clearly and directly as to you want peace, it comes at this price.
Well, there'll be no general ceasefire in Gaza without the release of our hostages. As far as tactical little pauses, an hour here, an hour there, we've had them before. I suppose we'll check the circumstances in order to enable goods, humanitarian goods to come in, or our hostages, individual hostages to leave. But I don't think there's going to be a general ceasefire.
Netanyahu believes a ceasefire would hamper the war against Hamas and the effort to get the hostages. He also told 80 ambassadors what he believes is at stake in this war.
What we see is a broader battle between civilization and barbarism. The barbarism is led by an axis of terror. The axis of terror is led by Iran, and we believe that all civilized powers should back us in this effort, because this battle is your battle, and our victory is your victory.
That's something to keep in mind. He says, our victory is your victory. That means the U.S. and every freedom-loving country. But many in Europe are taking a standby-and-wait position. The UN again reporting some 5,000 fled on foot to southern Gaza in 4 hours yesterday. They're not actually out of Gaza, but in southern Gaza. They're doing their best to get away from the war that's raining down on them. And many Israelis do not understand why the world is turning against Israel's action in Gaza? You should, but I don't know how you can get around it. Maria Bartiromo was talking about Blinken's recent round of diplomacy, and can I say another word said diplomacy, doo-doo trips he was taking?
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken wrapping up his high-stakes trip to the Middle East after making a surprise visit to the West Bank and Iraq in an effort to negotiate a humanitarian pause, is what he's calling it, ceasefire. Meanwhile, a Senate source familiar with the situation confirms to Fox that the Biden administration plans to transfer $320 million in precision bombs to Israel.
Whatever the Israelis need, if we have it, we're going to give it to them. And certainly their bombing campaign and is an issue here for them. They're running short, and also they need interceptors because Hamas is still firing rockets and missiles into Israel on a regular basis, certainly not with the intensity that it had at the beginning of this campaign. But nonetheless, whatever the Israelis need, we're going to get it to them as soon as we possibly can, and that's absolutely the right policy.
Do whatever we can to support them. But again, the world as a whole is just kind of thinking, okay, Israel, you're overdoing it. UN is reporting Gaza has become a graveyard for children. It has, and that's unfortunate. God, it's unfortunate. If you have any sense of humanity, you don't want that to happen. But if you had any sense of humanity, you would not have wanted to see innocent people slaughtered in Israel as they were going about their daily lives either. And if Hamas had a single sense of humanity, they would let all the civilians leave the war zone. But they won't. They want it to be a bigger graveyard for children. General Jack King was responding to Maria that, yes, we need to help Israel. As I mentioned, Blinken doing his doo-doo tour, going around trying to do this, do that, and basically dumping here and dumping there, and it smells and nothing accomplished. And in the process, still carrying the message that maybe Hamas is on the right side of this war. They're not saying it directly. But they're not condemning Hamas. And if they want peace, why don't they condemn Hamas? And why don't they say, Hamas surrender. No pause in fighting. No ceasefire. Hamas surrender. Who the hell is asking for that to happen? No one in this administration. And General Jack King says, keep in mind, Iran is behind all of this.
We've got to face up to the reality that Iran is expanding the war by conducting these attacks against U.S. bases. And to say that this is separate from what took place in Israel also is fundamentally misguided. Iran is in charge here in terms of the proxy attacks against us and also dealing with Hamas's attack on Israel. I mean, in September, Hamas was training at the IRGC training center. So we've got to recognize that these things are all together. Iran is behind it, and we've got to get their attention. I've said before, what we should do is take down the capability of the Iranian proxies to conduct these attacks.
And that'd be a good idea. Now, is he talking about hitting targets absolutely and truly inside Iran or in Syria and Iraq? We do know this. Netanyahu has stated the country of Israel will end up having overall security responsibility for Gaza going forward. And the immediate response from the White House is, that's a good idea because you don't want this to happen again. No, the response from this lame, indifferent, stupid, peace-offending, and offering cake in place of really a threat, the White House says, oh, I don't think you should reoccupy Gaza. Netanyahu's not really talking about reoccupying, but putting a police force in place so they do not spring up again. Later in this hour, General King talks more about hitting targets. It will get Iran's attention. But first, for some reason, former President Obama decided to weigh in on who's to blame for Israel Hamas.
If you want to solve the problem, then you have to take in the whole truth. And you then have to admit nobody's hands are clean.
His hands are the dirtiest of all. I mean, the audacity of President Obama to come out and say that everybody's made a big mistake here. Come on, he was the one that empowered Iran. He was the one that drove oil prices high and allowed Iran to sell oil on the international market. He dropped all those sanctions. So Iran got rich.
They got rich and they used the money to fund more terrorist activities. The response there from former Deputy National Security Advisor KT McFarland, serving under Trump, and she's dead right on what Obama did. And he's saying, you got to look at everybody's hands. Everybody's hands got dirty. What about yours, Obama? Well, that he did not address. I want you to hear more from KT McFarland saying in more detail how Obama's hands are certainly dirty and bloody.
His hands are the dirtiest of all. I mean, the audacity of President Obama to come out and say that everybody's made a big mistake here. Come on, he was the one that empowered Iran. He was the one that drove oil prices high and allowed Iran to sell oil on the international market. He dropped all those sanctions. So Iran got rich. He also paid money directly to Hamas. Why? Because he had this, quote, humanitarian aid to the Palestinians. Well, the humanitarian aid doesn't go to the Palestinian people. It goes to Iran. I mean, it goes to Hamas. Hamas steals the fuel. It steals the cement. It steals the food intended for the people, but Hamas uses it for its military purposes. And then finally, President Obama was the one who tried to negotiate with Iran to allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. So for him to say everybody's hands are dirty, the dirtiest hands of all are his.
And I second that. I second that remark by KT McFarland. So Antony Blinken making all of his trips the other day, and of course including the PLO leader, which did not go well, but he was trying to explain that, look, we don't really want to get into a fight with Iran. I guess we want to be best friends forever. They're not going to be your best friend. You're not going to appease them. You're not going to buy them. You're not going to do anything except submit to them. But here's Blinken trying to say, we have a goal in mind.
We're not looking for conflict with Iran. We've made that very clear. But we'll do what's necessary to protect our personnel, be they military or civilian. Prime Minister al-Sudani has made very clear his condemnation of attacks against directed at our people, threats at our people, and his determination to do what's necessary to make sure that that doesn't happen.
We tried to deter them from doing that with rhetoric, did not work. And then we conducted an attack ourselves at a weapon storage facilities on the border of Syria. We said on Fox that that's not going to work. That's not effective. That does not get their attention. The attacks not only continued, but they have accelerated.
And in fact, the Pentagon now reporting at least 38 attacks on U.S. personnel in that region, Syria and Iraq. And originally they were saying 20 soldiers injured. Now they're saying 46 injured. What else are they hiding from us at this point so Biden can look better? Coming up later in the next segment, now the Nashville mass killer, the man posing, a woman I should say, posing as a man now, transgender, goes into a Christian school. Do you remember that? Back in March, shoots it up, kills three children, three adults. And they would not tell us, police would not release the manifesto the killer had written in advance because it didn't fit the narrative of, well, you can't go against transgenders. In this case, now we're getting more information. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 844-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is a CBS News special report. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and we are coming on the air with breaking news because, as you can see, we're about to hear from police in Nashville after that deadly shooting at a Christian private school in Nashville.
Thank you, Don.
Let's listen in as we are learning the names of the victims.
I want to express our grief and our city's grief. On this unexpected day, this worst day, but also let us praise our first responders. 14 minutes, I believe under fire,
Running into the gunfire. That was March 27th of this year, when a transgender by the name of Audrey Hale, but also went by Aiden, 28 years of age, shot up a Christian school that she once attended, killing three children, three adults, before being killed by police. Well, for some time, we've known there was a manifesto written by the killer, and now it's finally been opened up, stating basically, I wanted to kill white privileged children. But the National Police Association had a battle with Nashville City and Nashville City Police just to get that manifesto released. And one of the attorneys fighting for the National Police Association, the lead attorney on this event, Doug Pierce. Doug, welcome aboard.
Happy to be with you.
First of all, why was it a battle to get an explanation and a motive for a shooting when normally the motive is clearly made a statement immediately for the public?
Well, the battle is still very much ongoing because, we have our litigation. It has not stopped at all because the only thing that's come out are three pages that were, it's being termed a leak, but they've come out now through some means other than the litigation, and that's upset the city of Nashville and some other people, but that information has come out, but we are still ongoing with the litigation. And because we believe there's a good bit more to be obtained and that we have asked for and are entitled to.
All right. Well, let's begin with the validity of the leak. Now, this was released apparently by conservative commentator Stephen Crowder. And you've seen what some of the statements are. Do you, first of all, accept the statements are valid and it truly are part of the motive and the what's been kept from the public?
Well, what I would say is, in other words, is that authentic? Is that, in other words, somebody just didn't make
that
up yesterday?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reaction from Nashville and others tends to suggest that it is because they say you know, it would have been easy for the city to say we can neither confirm nor deny that that is valid.
Right.
Instead, they suggest that that was a valid document because they say that it should not have been released, and they're going to investigate who released it. So that greatly implies that it is valid.
All right, I'm going to drill down, and for some of you listening, I'm going to tell you this might get very upsetting to you. It should be upsetting enough that somebody goes into school and shoots it up, regardless of any motive. But in this case, one of the missives apparently appearing in the so-called manifesto, want to kill all you little crackers. Wanting to kill basically goes on to talk about killing you white privileged children. Did kill three young children at this school and three adults, one in the custodian, the first one that was shot down. The principal of the school, who was running at the shooter trying to get them to stop, had no weapon of her own. And then another teacher who wasn't even supposed to be on duty that day. She was simply being a substitute teacher. So the manifesto says, went in with the intent to kill and apparently intended to kill many more.
Yeah.
So what are we going to learn from the manifesto that those lines I just read would add anything more of value?
Well, it's important to understand that the general public, which I'm saying includes you and me and probably most of your viewers, there's a limited amount that we get out of that. But there are people specializing in such fields as criminal psychology who, you know, they will take this, they will study it, and that will go into the greater body of information that helps to determine how these incidences can be prevented in the future, because that has been ongoing. I mean, there are studies prepared showing that many times these incidents have been prevented in the future,
right,
by studying these writings, because about more than half the time the shooter leaves behind a writing. And it's a simple concept, Larry, and that is we learn from experience. And this is the experience, and we need to have the full experience so we can learn from it. You know, your intro into me, that was the mayor of Nashville at the time,
right,
talking about how the police had responded so appropriately. And also it was talked about how, not in your intro, but it's been pointed out that that school, their staff, they had a plan, and they followed the plan, and they did good work. And you know, where do those plans come from? They came from experience. And that's what has to happen here, is we need to learn from this experience.
Now, the other thing that comes up in this is that police have identified the male named Aiden, who was a woman, transgender, and that they apparently are admitting that she kept 20 journals or more. That's in court documents revealed earlier this year, and just these three pages got out. But the bottom line is, why would they keep this silent? Why would they hide this information from the public?
That's an excellent question, and I do not have the answer to that question. We can only speculate. And you know, that's part of the problem. That's part of the bigger problem, is the fact that it causes speculation about why is this being done. In other instances, these manifestos or journals, as I say, it happens in most of the cases that the shooter has these writings, they're released. Why is it not being done here? And when you don't release that information, it just engenders a lot of suspicion about government.
I am going to offer some speculation, and you can certainly deny it or just say no comment. I'll leave it to you, sir. You're the attorney. But I'm thinking this does not fit the narrative of those who want to go down and crack down on guns and Second Amendment rights, because this was a transgender person, first of all, and we've got to give them certain permissions and rights. They are all entitled to our constitutional rights. But in this case, they had a gun. Can't have guns in the hands of transgenders. Is that what you're trying to say? And or that they were going after Christian children, Christian white children, which again is against the narrative that we've been presented by many in this nation.
Well, what I would say is that I'm in no position to say whether that's right or wrong, but Larry, there's a lot of people who are expressing the very same thing that you have, and plus there's other suggestions. And at that point, we're just going off on speculation and rumor, and we need to get the real information and stop the speculation.
I have covered numerous disasters over the time, sometimes involving police or something of that nature. And I told them repeatedly, you need to get as much good information as you can, because if you don't, the rumor mill starts going and then you don't have control over anything. That's always been my belief on it. And I can't believe the National Police Association has to be battling in court for what should have been laid out 3 days after they found it.
Well, what you said is exactly true. Yeah, you need to get out as much good information as you can, as quick as you can. And that's not happening here.
So if we're going to add to my speculation, what are some of the other possible reasonings, rationale? And I use the word loosely.
Well, Larry, that's not what I'm going to do. I mean, I don't have to do that for the lawsuit. I will add this one other thing here. It's consistent with what you just said about what police need to do. And that is, you know, a former Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court said that the people do not demand infallibility of their public institutions, but they find it difficult to accept what they are prohibited from observing.
Yes.
And that's the same thing. Once you start hiding stuff, it's only human nature. People are going to get suspicious. And once that suspicion starts, that has a very bad effect.
When people look back over just a very basic concept of a city council, school boards, and so-called sunshine laws, open it up to the sunlight. Let everybody understand what's being discussed and what's happening. And, of course, often then they'll find a reason to hide it behind, well, it's a personal issue, it's a personnel issue, so we can't expose everything. And then you move, accelerate to what we saw with COVID and what we were told and what we were not told and what we now know was a bigger lie than what we assumed. How much of this do we still suspect is going on? Unless there's naming other people that are intending to carry out similar crimes, that I would say keep silent till you have the information. But the motive and the basic understanding of it's a clear hate crime, and I don't see that any hate crime issue has been raised.
Yeah, all I can say, Larry, is I agree with you. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you, attorney, for being very candid. No, I know you've been very candid. I'm joking a little bit with you in the sense that I know it's been a hard fought battle for you.
Yeah.
So when do you expect you will, if ever, get the full manifesto?
Well, I am hopeful that we will one day. However, we're before the Court of Appeals on a procedural issue. And regardless of how that Court of Appeals rules, we may go up to the Tennessee Supreme Court, or we may go back down to the trial court. But in any event, whenever we get back to the trial court, that is only then do we get to the merits issue of, okay, are these documents going to be made public or not? So what I'm saying is it looks like it's a long haul.
And yet, while they will not deny it, they're now, as you said, investigating how it leaked to begin with. So there has to be some validity, as you referred to. This is a bombshell.
Yes.
So we'll have to wait the timing, I guess, and see the system work. And we wish you the best on it, sir, because this cannot continue to just go along. But I will guarantee you, if it were reversed, it was a white man that had hate on his mind for people of a certain ethnicity or a religion or race, it would have been published immediately.
Well, you may or may not be right, but the very fact that there is this concern is the speculation. That's the problem.
All right. Again, Doug Pierce, National Police Association attorney, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
We'll visit again. Coming up, Biden is not walking the talk when it comes to Israel. In fact, he might be backstepping. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton, and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, Congresswoman Tlaib, of course, facing censure for her remarks, reference support for Hamas, basically. She'll say the PLO, but it's really for Hamas. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on where the censure vote stands and what's going on with it right now. The bottom line is her remarks stand in stark contrast to what she claims she is, that she is Palestinian-born, but an American, obviously, be elected to Congress. So she must, quote, love this country. If you missed the last hour where I was letting you hear from Mark Levin talking about a statement by Barack Obama when he said, we're just days away from dramatically transforming this nation. Levin's statement was, if you love something, you don't transform it. You want to keep it the way it is. Obama didn't want to keep it the way it was. And Michelle Obama even made the comment, I've never been prouder in America. In other words, she really had not had pride in America up to that point. But Rashida Tlaib, about the censure issue even being brought up, she states, it is a shame my colleagues are more focused on silencing me than they are on saving lives as the death toll in Gaza surpasses 10,000. Many of them have shown me that Palestinian lives simply do not matter to them. That's not really true by stating that Palestinians are certainly being killed, and we regret it, but Israel's trying to get to Hamas, and Hamas is using the Palestinians as human shields. Why will Rashida Tlaib not call out Hamas for doing that? You know why. Because to her, it's perfectly good defense. Put the civilians in front of yourself. If Israel kills them, great video comes out of Gaza showing the deaths of children. And a UN spokesman stating, Gaza has now become a graveyard for children. What great headlines that makes for Hamas. And she says, I have repeatedly denounced the horrific targeting and killing of civilians by Hamas. I have not seen those statements wherever she says she made them. She said, I repeatedly denounced the horrific targeting and killing of civilians by Hamas and the Israeli government, and mourn the Israeli and Palestinian lives lost. So I will continue to work for a just and lasting peace. That'd be great if you really meant it, but what you really want is you want, as you yourself led in that rally, the shout, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means you want to eliminate Israel. That's not peace. That's eliminating someone simply because their religion is different. Would you cry out, eliminate someone of a different color, someone of a different gender? And would those that support LGBT be willing to go live in Sharia Muslim countries where they will kill you, throw you off a building, and stone you to death if you survive the fall because you identify as homosexual, lesbian, or whatever? Somewhere in their twisted mind, they think, well, we would be treated differently. You would not be treated differently. You'd be thrown off the top of the building. All right, so today we've had Special Counsel David Weiss testifying behind closed doors before the Judiciary Committee about his role in the 5-year investigation of Hunter Biden. House Republicans, of course, are hoping in the end this will clear up contradictions between Weiss, 4 IRS agents, 2 prosecutors, and Attorney General Merrick Garland, who claimed back in June Weiss has complete authority to make all decisions, but then ended up appointing him as a special counsel. Why would he have to do that if he has all the authority already? It's a dog and pony show. Always has been. A Weiss spokesman did tell reporters, consistent with department policy and the law, now they're interested in the law. Consistent with department policy and the law, he will be unable to address specifics of his investigation. That's why they're having a closed-door meeting and a session with him. The New York Times did confirm back in June the DOJ, the Department of Justice, headed by his boss, Merrick Garland, who said Weiss has full authority, confirmed in June the DOJ prevented Weiss from bringing charges against Hunter Biden in D.C. and California. So he apparently does not have such a full reign, does he? Now, I'm not going to leave out what's been happening with Donald Trump. You know me. I'm going to give you all facts, let you make your own decision. I may add my comments as well, and you can certainly agree or disagree. That's fine. And you can always check my facts. I encourage you to do so. Don't take anything I say blindly and say, well, if Larry said it, it must be right. Please don't be that foolish. Always check your source. But I'm going to give you this story as it comes from one of the most bitter groups against Trump. So why not let you hear exactly how they frame what's going on with Donald Trump and his testimony yesterday? This is CNN. Here's one point where they were able to show, look what Trump did. He reversed himself. Oh, we got him. Not really, but I'm going to read it to you. The Attorney General's office pressed Trump on the properties central to his identity and brand, Mar-a-Lago, Trump Tower, other key parts of his real estate. And, of course, they're talking about the differing values that he offered on his real estate. That is a basic case, civil case, against him. You overinflated the value of your properties to get loans. Even if he did. That happens a lot with businesses, small and big. Well, my house is worth $1 million, when it's really only worth $250,000. But if the bank accepts your word, doesn't do any further diligence, there's not going to be an issue unless you don't pay back the loan you're getting. Trump paid back all the loans. There is not a single banking institution, any group like that, going after Trump in this civil case. But the attorney general, who wants to hang Trump's scalp from her doorway, says, well, but they were cheated out of interest they could have gotten. The interest they would have gotten back then, when you're talking about before Bidenomics and all that came into place, you're talking about less than 3% interest. It's still a lot, on the money he's dealing with. But the bottom line is not a single bank is involved in this civil case. Why? Because they all got paid off. What's their complaint going to be? Okay, he lied to us about how much valued his property is. Did you get paid back? Yes. Okay, we're done. Trump did note this, and this is where they're going to make a big deal out of it. This is why I want to point it out. He acknowledged in a noteworthy exchange, this is again as written by CNN, there were mistakes in financial statements, such as the Trump Tower apartment valuation. The value of the apartment fell from $327 million in 2016 to roughly $116.8 million in 2017, which came after Forbes magazine outed Trump in 2017, claiming the apartment was more than 30,000 square feet when it was really just 11,000 square feet. So one of the attorney general's office members asking Trump, were you involved in making that change? And he said, after several other explanations, probably. He acknowledged it could have been a mistake, but said that's why his statements included disclaimer clauses and banks are responsible for their own due diligence. That's a fact. Trump added, there's a disclaimer clause where you don't have to get sued by the Attorney General of New York. If I wanted to build up a statement like you said I did before you found out just how rich we are, I would have added brand value here and I would have increased it by tens of millions of dollars. Bottom line, again, this is nothing but smoke and mirrors being carried out by the Attorney General of New York. And the timing? You do know that we're coming up on the presidential election? Of course you do. That's exactly why all this is in play at this point. So that's the way CNN sees it. So I gave you the most damning thing they could come up with. Did you change evaluation? Probably I did. Did they ask, did everybody get paid back? No, they didn't. You know why? Because the answer would be, yes, they all got paid back. All right, as I said a moment ago, Biden is not walking the walk when it comes to Israel. I mean, he's been going sliding left and right, and there's also a lot of bitter fighting inside the Democrats on Israel.
The Democrat Party is at a civil war with itself over the whole Israel, Middle East, Hamas, Palestinian issue. The younger Democrats are the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, or anti-Semitic. They're anti-Israel. They're pro-Palestinian by definition, but they're pro-Hamas. The older part of the Democratic Party, well, they used to be pro-Israel. And so President Obama has waded into the middle of it because he's, for example, he said things when he was president, like, well, Bibi Netanyahu's a bad head of Israel. Bibi Netanyahu should go. And now President Biden is saying the same thing, saying, yeah, well, Bibi Netanyahu, his support is weakening. Netanyahu's the guy who wants to clean out Hamas, yeah, and they don't want that to happen.
And yet, didn't Biden go? Yes, Larry, I'm glad you asked this question. Did Biden go to Israel, stand beside Benjamin Netanyahu and say, we've got your back, you can count on the U.S.? Did he say that? Yes, Larry, he did. Good question, great answer. Boy, do I know how to put a show together. All right, now let me share something with you. This is from Breitbart. Again, I want to give you sources. The editor-in-chief, Alex Marlowe, wrote most of this and what I'm going to share with you. And, of course, he's also the author of the book called Breaking Biden, which is out now and, of course, apparently doing very well. But he's talking about people inside Joe Biden's inner circle that he listens to. He doesn't talk about the progressives, AOC and those like that. So if they read this same article, they might be offended. Why am I not included as an insider? But one of the insiders he names is Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor. Biden once called Sullivan, and again I'm quoting from Alex Marlowe's piece, he called Sullivan a once-in-a-generation intellect. Good God. Biden is surrounded by smart people. Didn't he say at one time, Hunter is the smartest person I know? I think he did. And did he now say Jake Sullivan is a once-in-a-generation intellect? Where would Hunter fall on that scale, I wonder? Goes on in this article to point out, Sullivan even bragged about the U.S. partnership with other democracies, but snubbed Israel's elected government, as Biden has been doing when it comes to Netanyahu. Wouldn't have invited him to the White House last time he was in the States. Sullivan also pledged to open a consulate in East Jerusalem for Palestinians. Background on Jake Sullivan, again, according to Alex Marlowe with Breitbart, Sullivan worked as an advisor to Hillary Clinton's failed 2008 campaign before going to work for her under the State Department during the Obama administration. Later found himself under investigation for removing classified markings from documents on Clinton's email server. Well, now that might explain why a lot of them were not marked classified. Marlowe goes on in his article, when he was in his mid-30s, Sullivan joined Biden World, becoming then Vice President Biden's National Security Advisor during Obama's second term. Then he went on to become a key player in creating and drafting the disastrous Iran nuclear agreement, which has been a mainstay of discussion surrounding the deal ever since. Marlowe advises, or rather continues, Sullivan advised Hillary Clinton on her Libya policy in the run-up to the Benghazi attack, when Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans were slain. May I quote Hillary Clinton here? What the hell difference does it make now anyway? Remember that statement? I have not forgotten it, Hillary Benghazi Clinton. And then Sullivan also helped comfort the then Secretary of State and her media damage control efforts. He probably did not tell her to say, what the hell difference does it make now anyway? But he didn't have direct control over her mouth at that point, so to speak. Then after her failed 2016 presidential campaign, Sullivan became a leading proponent of the Russian collusion hoax and a key conduit for the disinformation operation that got exposed in Special Counsel John Durham's report on Russiagate. He also was making money along the way as an expert in different ways. He got $138,000 in consulting fees from one group, $152,000 from various academic positions, $72,000 salary from the Biden campaign. All of these are small amounts, but they add up. Turns out that he is now worth between $7.5 and $27.5 million or more. And his wife was at one time a law clerk to Attorney General Merrick Garland when he was judge. And the media, according to Alex Marlowe again with Breitbart, has praised Jake Sullivan as a guru. The Economist literally declared, quote, Jake Sullivan to the rescue. And then last month he wrote a piece in Foreign Affairs taking victory lap for Biden's foreign policies, claiming credit for de-escalating the Israeli-Gaza conflict. And, of course, that happened just days before everything blew up. So the online version of his Foreign Affairs article got scrubbed, referenced Biden's triumphs in the Middle East. But then he had also made a direct statement. Things are quieter and calmer now in the Middle East than ever before. They passed his lips, they went right to the microphone, and for anyone to hear. He could say, well, I didn't quite get to finish my sentence before Hamas went crazy. These are the kinds of idiots that right now are pushing us closer to the brink of war. Remember when they claimed if Trump got his hand on the nuclear button, he'd get us all blown up? Do you remember that? Oh, I do. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.